Hey, hey, and welcome to this, the 4D Recruitment Method podcast with me, Jeremy Snell. Join me as we unpack ideas, tactics, and processes to help you grow your business. I'm going to share with you what I would consider to be the biggest mistake that average recruiters are making, which is preventing them from achieving exceptional results. Now, on the face of it, being average isn't bad, right? There is worse that you could be. You could be below average. You could be crap. People don't like being described as being average, though. So I think in terms of the psyche of things, most recruiters would like to describe themselves as being above average. Yet mathematically, that's not possible. In fact, mathematically, 60% of the population in recruitment, by definition, are average. It's the two extremes at other ends that we would start to describe as being outside of the distribution curve of average. But like I say, not everyone's happy with the idea of being described as average, particularly if they're doing 200 grand a year on perm and everyone else in the business is doing 150 or 160. They would consider themselves to be class leading, but what they don't get to see is the performance of others outside of their own business. So they end up being a big fish in a small pond, but put them into the ocean and they become a minnow. So the reality is this. Many of the people who think that they are good at what they do aren't actually serving themselves to the best of their ability, because what they've designed is a process that helps them to be able to achieve the results that they want without necessarily thinking about at what cost. Like, what am I sacrificing when I choose to do what I do? And it reveals itself most evidently when we look at the processes that people manage to be able to fill a job. Every consultant in every recruitment business at some point travels from A to Z. A, job on. Z, job filled. And the frequency with which they get from A to Z is linked to the quality of the steps between A to Z. B, C, D, E, F, G, ad infinitum. Well, not ad infinitum, 24 steps, right? But from A to Z and the 24 steps in between, the average recruiter has started to identify places where they personally feel, I can cut that out, right? I don't need Q. Q doesn't serve me very well. So I'm just going to kick that one into the long grass. I don't need B either. B can jog on. I don't need B. I know my marketplace. I can do a quick search on the database. Boom. I've got all of the contenders that I need. So as they start to jettison some of these letters, ping, 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 and they start to redefine their process from A to Z as being A, D, M, P, Q. And you listen to how they do this. There is rhyme and reason as to why they feel,
given their experience, given my knowledge of my market,
I don't need to do that. But what they don't think about is, what would happen if I did? What might happen if I did that with more frequency? What might happen if I paid more attention to all of the steps between A to Z, to things like my results, to things like my performance, to things like my knowledge, to things like my sales flywheel? Because at the moment that they start at A, their desire is to get to Z as quickly as possible. New job, got to get it filled. And because they want to get from A to Z as quickly as possible, they've stopped thinking commercially as a recruiter about what actually is the purpose of the rest of these steps for the experience of my client, for the experience of the candidates that I engage with, and for the depth of knowledge that it helps me to be able to gain, so that the next time I go again for this client, for this type of role, for this geographical territory, I'm able to do it with more intelligence. Like, more intelligence in terms of gathered as opposed to higher IQ. So as we look at some of those common corner cuts that take place, the first common corner cut that takes place is actually at A. At A, the experienced recruiter, who we will call Joe or Josephine Average. What Joe or Josephine Average is doing at this moment is they are thinking about the next step and how quickly they wish to get there. And because they're thinking about that next step and wanting to get there, they can be too quick in terms of their qualification, and they can leave a client feeling like they haven't been fully understood. They haven't had the opportunity to fully share. So they can rush off going looking for people because as they're going through the role, they're like, I can think of somebody already. And because they can think of somebody already, they're starting to define it as being fillable. And because they're now defining it as being fillable, that's what they want to do. Go do the filling thing. So sometimes they leave a client part qualified. And because the client feels part qualified, the client may feel part committed. And if the client feels part committed because they've been part qualified, they might part investigate other solutions. And they may not share that with the recruiter who's now run off to go and talk to some people. Or the other thing that may happen at qualification is they wish to show their level of experience of the marketplace, so they don't actually qualify the client's job and requirements and problems. They project what they believe the client wants to hire. And they start to give the vacancy to the client rather than actually pull from the client the core things that matter the most. So once they discover that they're looking for a Java developer to work on this particular project, they might start projecting back. So you're looking for what, maybe 2 or 3 years experience. So I guess paying what, 70, 75 grand, right? And as they start to provide to the client the roadmap as to what they think they're looking for, they're now off looking for their assumption rather than the client's expectation. And then thirdly, at this point of qualification, they may get so fixated on filling it, all they're really focused on is finding out, what do you want and how am I going to pitch it to a candidate? And they're not thinking about, how do I inspire you to feel like you don't need to do anything else? How do I inspire you to feel like the experience is going to be completely different from perhaps other recruiters you may have worked with in the past? How do I inspire you to feel that perhaps working on this as a project and creating a stronger partnership between the two of us, are we going to be able to move forward together? So already at A, sometimes consultants, particularly average consultants, what should be a capital A becomes a lowercase a. What should be a capital A in bold becomes a lowercase a in italics. And because it is diluted, the rest of the process from B to Z becomes diluted. The second place where this mistake often kicks in is then when they start to actually go out to marketplace to engage with candidates. They get fixated on finding people, and finding people becomes their biggest challenge rather than actually engaging with the ones who they already found. There are so many people left in their wake who ignored them because their outreach wasn't engaging enough, whether it was the copy of their advertising, the quality of the emails that they were sending, the insights that were shared within the emails to inspire somebody to actually feel like they've been picked, or the quality of video content that was being drafted and crafted designed to be able to capture the attention of the passive talent. So they end up doing a cowpoke roundup of the best of the available suspects and endeavour to then work their way through those respondents to find the best of the bunch, rather than digging deeper into the marketplace to find the most qualified, the most suitable. You get the picture, right? Because they're under this pressure that they've put under themselves. They want to get from A to Z as quickly as possible. And then the byproduct of that means they have less conversations with people who are probably working in roles that they're happier in, and therefore under less pressure to have to engage with somebody who isn't themselves very engaging, which may mean that they are missing out on insights and intel and content that could help them to think about who are the organisations out there that good people work for where they want to stay. So they never really get onto their sales radar enough intel to help them to be able to engage with some of the better employers, the more hidden brands that people really want to stick at. And as their process rolls forward, and they start to cut bits of process that revolve around interview preparations or interview debriefs or resignation preparations or resignation debriefs or starting to work a sales flywheel to do work with those candidates that are in that process to be able to nurture a placement plan with each of them so that on the back of this, if they have four candidates in play on the role and one of them gets the job, they've already created the marketing plan as to what they're going to do to assist the other three to be able to find their next thing. Because the most important candidate in any recruitment process is the candidate who comes second. And if they haven't created a plan as to what they're going to do with the people who come second or third or fourth on this role by the time they're arranging interviews, they'll get so embroiled in the rest of their placement process that those candidates will be left in the long grass, kicked into touch, and they'll be off looking for their next role to work on rather than doing something proactive with their marketing to help to be able to maintain the inertia of the project that they've been working on. And as a consultant, all of the work that I did on a retained basis, all of the work that I did on an exclusive basis was always on the back of the projects that I've been working on. So that marketing flywheel that I could create for every role that I worked on that was retained or was exclusive, it created a pipeline of at least two more that I could work on. Yet the average consultant isn't thinking about this. They're thinking about this month's fee, let's get this onto the board. They're thinking about this contract deal, let's get another runner out, and they're worrying about their BD when it's time to worry about BD. So as a business owner, as a manager, as a senior consultant, what I'd recommend that you do is this. Think about your process from A to Z. Job on, job filled. And then think about all of the steps that could become B all the way through to Y. And when you look at B to Y, and you may want to create some additional letters of the alphabet if your process is going to be longer than this, but just think about that metaphor of A to Z and how many letters get cut out and what impact that has. The cost of the BD that doesn't happen, the cost of the depth of search being so light that it doesn't increase the population of talent that this person is talking to. It doesn't increase the quality of intel that's being gathered. And think about how you could start to become more diligent so that when you follow your A to Z, you're hitting all of those steps in between without compromise, because you know that serving yourself with those steps is bigger than getting this job filled. And then you'll find that you're living far less hand to mouth, because everything that you're doing is feeding and helping to be able to make next week, next month, and even next quarter more fruitful because of the depth and the standard to which you're now following the performance from A to Z. So I'll leave you with that as your little thoughts from today's episode. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Any mapping that you do of your A to Zs, if you get that committed and you create it into a poster and you then highlight within that the key touch points within the entire process, it's the foundations of the 4D recruitment method. All of the sprints that I've developed to help to be able to ensure that everything is being done to the right standards, it's the delivery of the sprints that helps to be able to grow the business, not just the ability to create the placement, which ultimately is the experiential transaction for the customers that are involved. So take a look at your own process, get things mapped out. If there's anything that I can do to help, you know where to find me, and I'll see you on another episode really soon. Thanks for listening, and remember, if there's anything I can do to help, just drop me a message.